From ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Leon Compton.
Bishop Richard Conde is the head of the Anglican Church in Tasmania. He's come out of a very busy weekend at the Synod, or with his Synod, and talks to us this morning. Richard Conde, nice to see you again.
Good morning, Leon.
What did you learn out of the Synod and this gathering of, what was it, 120?
160.
160 church members from around Tasmania about your plans, which in many sectors of the community that we're hearing are not particularly popular.
Yeah. Look, we had a very excellent meeting, I think. It was conducted really well. I think there was people spoke with respect of each other. There was a very robust exchange of ideas. So people brought stories back from their local communities. People spoke about what was going on in their area. And we spent 4 hours debating our bill with all the details of it. And it was eventually adopted with an overwhelming support. 90% of the clergy voted in favour for it. 80% of the laity voted in favour for it. Many of those from rural areas in Tasmania.
Even including those where they would lose, in the case of Southern Midlands Council, 8 of their 9 church spaces.
So we had lots of our parishes where everything, all the buildings in their parish on the list for sale. We also adopted a process for how we're going to deal with this going forward. So we're asking parishes to come to us to say, actually, this church building is really necessary for the ministry that we're doing by virtue of distance or isolation. So I think of the church in Queenstown, a very passionate speech about how we need to keep this building in Queenstown, and you can hear that argument. You know, I've driven the road from Queenstown to Strawn. I know how difficult it is. And so, we're happy to hear those arguments.
And so will you change your mind about selling their church?
Yes. Well, we have to raise $8 million, and we don't have any other way to do that. And the Synod overwhelmingly voted saying this asset sale is the way we want to fund this. This is an incredible act of generosity on part of those 160 people, because it's their churches. So many of the churches, you know, I started to go round my head from the northwest corner, King Island, Smithton, Wynyard, all of these places, they're affected deeply by it, and they've all voted in favour of this because they could see how important it was for survivors of sexual abuse that we're able to provide this redress.
What we are hearing, Bishop, is that an incredible number of people in those affected communities don't want their churches sold.
Of course.
Have you heard that?
Of course I have. Leon, I am overwhelmingly sad that, A, we have to do this at all because of the evil people who are in our church. I am overwhelmingly sad for the communities that may well lose their church as a result of this. Overwhelmingly sad for the difficulty of it. At the same time, I'm compassionate for survivors of sexual abuse. I'm trying to lead an organisation as a good corporate citizen who makes provision for the things that it knows are coming up. And I'm incredibly proud or kind of satisfied that the Synod, who are the people most directly affected by this, are willing to take this sacrifice.
There is a reality, and that is that a significant part of this is restructuring the church for 2018 and beyond. You have more valuable assets that you are not putting on the block, productive assets you could sell and raise that money in an instant, but you're not.
We're trying to be sensible about this. We're trying to make a rational decision about it. We lead an organisation. That Synod leads the Anglican Church in Tasmania, all right? And they have to make a clear decision about what is going to keep the Anglican Church going into the future. So there are twin aims. The twin aim is to raise the $8 million and to make sure we're here for the long haul and to do the least amount of damage to the actual ministries, the actual activities of the church on the ground that we can do. We looked at all different kinds of alternatives. Many new ones were put up at the Synod and debated. But we don't think there is any other way to do this than the way we've proposed. Now, having said that, local parishes are already coming to us and saying, look, we've got a block of land and 3 churches on the list. How about we sell the block of land and give you 100% of the proceeds of that and we'll get to keep our churches? Fine. We're happy with that. We need to raise the $8 million. But what we've done is a very dispassionate, not uncompassionate, dispassionate in the true sense of the word, application of principles to work out which of our parishes do not have a sustainable future. I was in a parish the other day, three centres, they raise $15,000 a year. They've got a rector who's in her 80s, and they have $15,000 a year barely pays the insurance. Rector in their 80s. What's the sustainability of that? It's not sustainable.
But this is the issue, that you're conflating two issues concurrently.
No.
One is redress.
No.
And this is an important, incredibly important issue. The other one is the sustainability of the Anglican Church. Another incredibly important issue.
Yeah.
But you have chosen to join them together
because
in the course of raising this money, and that is confusing for people.
Okay. If the ABC were in trouble financially and had a whole bunch of radio stations that weren't making money, would they close down the ones in the capital cities? No, of course they wouldn't. You have to, like, this issue is filled with emotion. I understand the emotion. I feel the emotion. I can tell you I've wept over this. I have laid awake at night over this. I do not want to do this. It is the saddest thing that we could be doing. We have no other choice if we want the Anglican Church to be here. Yeah, we could sell off whole properties in the middle of the city, but we'd wipe out the Anglican Church and the good that it does if we did that. So actually what we've done is use the sustainability criteria to work out which properties to sell. Yes, restructuring the Anglican Church will be an outcome of this, but it has never been a driver. There was not one word in 4 hours of debate about us doing this to restructure our diocese. Not one word. And in all the meetings I've been in, I have never heard one word about this being about the restructure. We know it will have that flow on effect. Of course it will. You can't sell half your buildings and not have a restructure. But that's not our purpose.
Bishop, have you wept over this?
Of course I have. Of course I have. In the car yesterday, driving back from the Synod, I've been so overwhelmed by how difficult this is for ordinary people, for people who've got their relatives buried in the cemeteries. But we don't have the luxury of just making an emotional decision. Emotional decisions very rarely give us the outcome that we need. So we've had to think about this rationally and carefully, and we're inviting others to do the same with us. We want people to come with solutions to us that will deliver the best outcome. If we were on about restructuring the diocese and a parish came to us and said, we'll give you 100% of this property and don't touch our churches, we wouldn't even think about it. We'd say, no, sell the churches, if that's what our purpose was. But it's not. Our purpose is to raise $8 million so that we can meet our redress obligations.
Mm.
I have sat in my office and listened to survivors of sexual abuse, and I describe it to people all the time as like ripples in a pond. It destroys people's lives, their families' lives, their churches' lives, their communities' lives, and what we are seeing today is the ripples of that evil flowing out into the wider community in Tasmania as people lose things that they love. I didn't do that. You didn't do that. But we live in a world where that stuff happens, and the ripples of sexual abuse are not just about the survivors. They're about everyone. People have said to me, couldn't you – somebody asked us at the Synod, are you going to provide redress for us, for the pain we're caused? Well, we can't do that. But we understand the pain that's behind that question. Of course we do. But – sometimes when you're in leadership, you have to lead through stuff that people don't want to do, who emotionally hate because you believe something's right. That's what we're trying to do.
Is this happening in other states in Australia?
Yeah, the Diocese of Newcastle are doing exactly the same thing that we're doing. They're taking 40% of the sale of their churches. They're leaving 60%, I think, locally. Which is about what happens with ours as well. They won't have any money coming to the centre. We've got 10% will actually be retained by the diocese in a sale of property, which is, again, to secure the future of the Anglican Church in Tasmania.
I know you've got to go in just a moment or two. On Mornings Around Tasmania, Bishop Richard Conde is our guest this morning. He's the head of the Anglican Church, and the Synod on the weekend decided that they would continue with this process. A couple of questions before you go. So now it is up to dioceses around Tasmania to convince you. Around Tasmania to convince you that they should hang on to their, what they should hang on to or how this should, or to try and save themselves in some cases.
Not to convince me. The Anglican Church is very democratic. The bishop has very little power unless it's conferred to him by the synod or the diocesan council.
So who do they have to convince?
The diocesan council. So it's a council of people elected by the synod. So it's all democratic. The parishes elect their synod representatives. The synod elect the diocesan council. They're the ones charged under the legislation we passed at the weekend to make the final decision on this.
When will those decisions be made?
1st of December. Today we're announcing that we've appointed a probity advisor, Mr. Harvey Gibson, who's going to work with us. He's going to oversee the process. He's going to help us set up the process of people being able to make their applications to us. We want this to be as transparent as possible. Today I've instructed my general manager to write to local councils to ask them to make reasoned, careful submissions to us.
So in the case of, say, the Southern Midlands Council, who we've heard from, or indeed the council up in the northeast at St Helens with Mick Tucker.
And look, I've already spoken on five different occasions with the Southern Midlands Council, asking them to make a rational, evidence-based proposal to us. All we got out of the meeting in Kempton was an emotional press release that condemned the Anglican Church, didn't engage with any of the issues. That's so disappointing. Contrast the City of Hobart, who have made an appointment to come and see to us today about St Raphael's and Inferntree, to talk about how we can work together for a solution. That's what we want to do. We want to sit down with people and have rational conversations.
A final question for you this morning. You just don't seem to have been able to convince people that their burial rights will be safe.
Sure.
And this is the issue that our listener in Talkback from St Helens the other day and from right around Tasmania, Peter Gutwin, Minister for Local Government, himself has a brother who's buried in a place maybe he would one day like to be buried.
Look, we've heard that loud and clear. I've written this morning to the Attorney General to say please expedite the process of reviewing the legislation, strengthening it if it needs to be strengthened. We're happy to work with them. We want people to have certainty about those things. We understand it. We're thinking about our own response should the government change the thing. We'd love to talk to local councils, and I've said this to the Southern Midlands Council. Can you help us to subdivide the properties so that we can retain ownership of the cemeteries and continue to manage them? We didn't get any of that. Any response to that in the press release from the Southern Midlands?
They might say you could have turned up at their meeting.
My view on town hall meetings is they rarely lead to good outcomes that are thoughtful. They rarely lead to good process. People's emotions are heightened, and the press release tells you that story.
And so you deliberately, it might have been a nice place to have at least taken some of the weather.
I have been into many communities around Tassie. I have declined going to the community-led town hall meetings that are just full of emotion. I want to speak to the leaders of those communities to hear the rational arguments. Give me a proposal that we can work with. We have to raise $8 million. We want to help survivors of sexual abuse.
Bishop Condy, it's always good to see you. What happens from here? Where are you off to now?
We're meeting with various people today, Hobart City Council, the Leader of the Opposition, just to talk about our process and to continue on. Now we have a firm decision. We've had a proposal up to now. We've got a firm decision. We need to set up the process. So we'll be meeting with the probity advisor. We'll be setting up the process, giving people the parameters by which they can make application to us, writing to all of our parishes, telling them how they can be engaged in the process. We'll gather all that information. Community submissions by the 1st of September. Parish submissions by the 1st of October. The Diocesan Council will meet in December and make a final decision, watched over by that probity advisor.
So 3 months for communities basically now to have that conversation with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Bishop Condy, we appreciate you coming in.
Thanks very much, Leon.
Richard Condy on Mornings Around Tasmania.